Yeah, this past Shabbos, in many shuls across the world, there's always a shayla that comes out, should you say Avarachim or shouldn't you say Avarachim? Always a tumult. There's always someone who passes from it. It says in the Siddur something or something. Okay, it does say something in the Siddur. But just to understand the shayla, it's kedari just to be masber a little bit. There's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch in Hilcha Shabbos. The Ramon writes in Reish Pei Dalad, the Ramon writes that there's a minug that whenever we recite Shabbos Mevarchim, we don't say Avarachim. So writes the Ramah. Now there's another Mishnah Berurah. There's a Mishnah Berurah in Tof Yud Zayin. This is in Hilchas Kiddush Levana, Chelek Dalid, the Forgotten Chelek. There the Mishnah Berurah quotes over there that there was some, that the whole idea of being Mevarach the Chodesh is brought down in the Rishonim. And there was a Shitas Rishonim not to be Mevarach Chodesh off. No one does this today, but there was such a Shitas Rishonim that we're not Mevarachim Chodesh off. It's a bad month, whatever it is, we're not Mevarach the Chodesh at all. That's not the widely accepted custom. Instead, we are Mevarach the Chodesh. So the Ramah writes that whenever you Mevarach the Chodesh, you don't say Avarachamim. Chotz mimei Svira. The Ramah doesn't give a reason. He just says during Svira is the exception. And during Svira, although we Mevarachim the Chodesh, we still say Avarachamim. The question is, what's Pshat in the Ramah? What's special about Yimei Svira? So the Chodesh, there's two ways to learn it. One way you could learn it is because Yimei Svira was a sad time. Since it was a big loss, it was a tragedy. The Avarachimim was Nisakein because of tragedy. So whenever there's tragedy, you say Avarachimim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Magen Avraham does not learn like that. The Mishnah Berurah says the reason why we say it during Svira is because the whole Tefillah of Avarachimim was Nisakein during Yimei Svira. The Tefillah of Avarachimim was Nisakein right after the Crusades, which took place predominantly during Svira. And that's why there are some communities that only said it, only said the Avarachimim during that time. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's why we say it. So what's the Nafkamina? The nafkamin would be, should you say Avarachamim on Shabbos, Avarachim of? If the Pshad is Tamazay because it's Peronios, and it's a bad time, so whenever there's a bad time, we still say Avarachamim, so then you should say Avarachamim, Shabbos, Shem Avarachim of. And that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan Taka Paskins. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that Mefurish. He says that when Avarachim of, this is Zaman Peronios, so we Taka say Avarachamim. But the Mishnah Berurah, L'shitasai, he says no. The Mishnah Berurah says you don't say Avarachamim. Why? Because it's L'shitasai. Why don't you say Avarachamim? Why do you say during Svira? That's because that's when it happened. But that's not a svar. They didn't write Avarachamim because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with it. Therefore, Mishnah Berurah, L'shitasai, it makes a lot of sense why he held not to say Avarachamim, which is what many shuls do today. They follow the Mishnah Berurah. But the Aruch HaShulchan held the other way. The Aruch HaShulchan held, you should say Avarachamim, the Shitasai, how we understood the Ramah. The one Shita that doesn't work out beautifully is the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was the middle Shita. The Vilna Gaon would say Avarachamim in Av, but not say Avarachamim during Sivan and Iyar. Now that seems not to make any sense. That seems to go against everything we've been saying. So many people have the minute to talk to say Avarachim yesterday because of the Vilna Gaon. You have the Vilna Gaon and the Aruch HaShulchan. But there's only one problem. If you're going to take the Vilna Gaon, you got to take the Vilna Gaon for a Sivan and Iyar as well. So the way the Masbid of the Vilna Gaon is very interesting. The Vilna Gaon learned the Ramah completely different. He learned the Ramah. The reason why Bimei HaSvira, the minig was to say Avarachim, was because it used to be in those communities, they used to say a special pizmai. They used to say like a special kina on the Shabbosim during Svira. So therefore, once you're going to say the kina, so then there's no reason not to say Avarachim. You're already in that depressed mode. Argued the Gaon, but we stopped saying that kina. So now that we stopped saying that kina, so we're not in that mode anymore. We're in that Shabbos Mevorachim happy mode. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon held you shouldn't say Avarachim. Ma'ashekim, when it comes to Av, where Be'emes, everyone's already in, not in his Zman Simcha, that's why he held you could say it. So it's an interesting Shitas Halacha. Again, I think most shuls, to my knowledge, follow the Mishnah Berurah, but I think plenty of shuls Taka said Avarachamim yesterday, and that's based on the Aruch HaShulchan and the Vilna Gaon.
I thought the Peronis wasn't just a general Peronis, so like we always had in that history, but it was specifically for the Crusades.
Yeah, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah learned, but the Aruch HaShulchan didn't like that. Yeah.
So they didn't, that's why Sivan, because in Sivan specifically there was a bad time, yes. But Av wasn't specifically.
The Aruch HaShulchan learns not like that. That's why the Mishnah Berurah learned. In Parshas Pinchas, the Torah tells us about the reward given to Pinchas for doing a very heroic act. And it wasn't easy for him to kill a Nasi, to kill anyone. I would venture to believe Pinchas wasn't well-rounded in killing. He probably didn't know too much what to do with a sword, but he did what he had to do, and he felt that this is what Hashem wanted of him. And the Torah gives him the reward in last week's Parsha, and the Torah gives him a brisi shalom, a bris of peace. So the Mefarshim asks, if you want to give Pinchas any reward, And you're not going to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. He didn't really make peace. He didn't do anything act of peace. He killed two people. How is that a peaceful reflection? We think of peace, we think of, you know, you put your arm around someone and you hug him, you show him how much you care for him. Pinchas did the exact opposite. He killed two people. When you kill people, why are you rewarded with the gift of peace? So I believe the answer is because we have a very warped understanding of peace. Our mind, what we call peace, is that everyone should get along. Peace means everyone's happy and everyone gets along with what we're doing. That's not what honest peace is. What Shalom is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu consider peace and happiness? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider peace and happiness when all of us do what we're not supposed to do just to make the other person happy. Right? We're not supposed to give up our values and our halacha just to make peace with another person. If we have a non-religious neighbor and he says, I'm only going to be your friend if you come with me to the Trefa restaurant. And you're going to say, well, Shvel HaShalom, I have to go with him to the non-kosher. That's not what peace means. Peace doesn't mean you give up your morals to make someone else happy. Peace means what will make Hashem happy? What will make peace in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Pinchas did made HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Because the din is, Kanayim Paigimah. That's what you're supposed to do. When you're presented with a shayla of Baal HaRamis, what Hashem wants you to do is be Kanayim Paigimah. The problem is we live in a world of, you know, PC. Everything has to be with what the world defines as nice and peace worthy. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares it is. What Pinchas did was honest peace. It was peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's what he did. And Pinchas did it because he loved Klal Yisrael. He didn't do it because he wanted to get an award or he wanted to express his violent side. He did it because he genuinely loved Klal Yisrael and he loved all of Klal Yisrael and he saw what was happening. He knew this is what needs to get done to save Klal Yisrael. So although in society it wasn't deemed, let's say, a peaceful act, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's genuinely a peaceful act. Because when you bring peace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Shalom really is. You know, we live in a world today that everything gets so watered down to make, you know, peace is when two people are happy. That's not what the Torah views as peace. And that's the pshat in what Pinchas did was because he knew this would bring honest happiness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think it's very relevant to the Bein HaMetzarim when we're going to read through tragedies that happen to the Jewish people. And we read tzara after tzara. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his tzaras is because he cares about us. When you care so much about someone, that's when you want to improve or help them. If we don't care about anyone, so let them do whatever they want. You want to hurt yourself, you want to damage yourself, it's your business, I don't care. When you care about someone, Pinchas cared so much about Klal Yisrael. He even cared about Zimri. He cared about Zimri, that's why he killed him. Because that's what you're supposed to do. When you care about someone, that's when you have to sometimes do the difficult things. When you don't care about someone, then you can let them do whatever they want. People have this idea that you're not allowed to criticize someone you care about. You're not allowed to criticize a spouse, a child, a worker. Why not? If you actually care about them, and you want them to get better and to improve, you have to criticize them. Now, obviously, it has to come from a good place. It can't just be, you know, criticism for the sake of criticism. But when you care so much about someone, you want to see them succeed. You want to see them improve. If we don't criticize our children, if we don't give them mussar, they're going to turn into be very, very unhealthy adults. David HaMelech got into trouble for this, for not giving proper techocha to one of his sons. That's our job. And that doesn't mean we're not peaceful people. Of course we have peace and shalom with our families. But that's what needs to get done, because that's what helps to grow an individual. So therefore, the Torah is telling us that the Brisi Shalom of Pinchas was a different experience. It wasn't just shalom in the sense that we think of shalom. You know, peace means everyone has to get along with each other. One big kumbaya. That's not what shalom means. Shalom means we're doing what makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. And it just hit me this week, and it was unbelievable. If you think about it, leading up to Tisha B'Av, you can't find more disagreements between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. It's an ironic thing. Up to Tisha B'Av, all everywhere, Ashkenazim don't do this and Sephardim do this. Mamish, up till Tisha B'Av itself, there's basically everything is Machloek, is Mechab and Ramah. So you say to yourself, I don't understand. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Avos Yisrael. Why should the Ashkenazim and Sephardim all just say, you know what, we're going to put our differences aside, we're all going to follow the same halacha? Because that's ridiculous. That's not what Avos Yisrael and Sinas Yisrael is. Because you follow the Mechab and I follow the Ramah, that means we hate each other, Chas v'Shalom. And we're not supposed to change each other's halachas. Because I have my Messiah and you have your Messiah. That's not what Shalom is. You know, in the world today, I'd be, oh, how can we disagree with each other? How can it be you're shaving and I'm not shaving? We should all just agree and decide something. You know, no, that's not what peace is. That doesn't make a Kosh Baruch Hu. A Kosh Baruch Hu is very happy when each of us are following our Rabbanim and Messiah. Peace is when we're doing a breach in Shalom Be'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're mean to each other, and we're not nice to each other, not in the context of disagreeing in Halacha, or even for that matter in Hashkafa. We have a different understanding of what real peace is. Peace doesn't mean you have to love everyone and agree and do everything they tell you. I always tell my talmidim, if you're walking in Manhattan one on a Shabbos, and an old lady says to you, can you please carry my packages? I picked Manhattan because I think everyone agrees there's no Erev in Manhattan. I think that's the only town we can all agree on. Manhattan, Kulyam, I think Kulyam, there's no Erev. So a nice old lady stops you on the street when you're walking in Manhattan and says, can you carry my packages across the street? What are you going to say to her? I have to. How can I not? There's got to be a chalal shem. That's not such heter. That's not darki shalom. That sometimes we have darki shalom. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's one of them. You have to politely explain to the old lady that I'm sorry, I have rules and regulations. What do you mean? That's not shalom. Of course it's shalom. That's shalom in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, in the world's perception, the PC world, that would be terrible. You say no to an old lady, a terrible person. But that's because we have a warped idea of shalom. Shalom is klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would make Hashem happy? That would make Hashem happy. You explain to her very respectfully and very nicely, I'm sorry, I would love to, I wish I could help you, but I'm unable to carry her. I have restrictions. Explain to her what it is. That's shalom. So what we thought was shalom, is what Pinchas did wasn't shalom. Of course it was. If you look at shalom in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the act that Pinchas did was very much deemed an act of shalom. Okay, we left off over here. We're still in the Hakdama mode. I thought today we'd finish it up, but I couldn't pass up talking about the Rishonim and Kedushin, so you'll have to forgive me. Beli Neder. I say that a lot because so if I don't say that, we're going to be here for another week until we actually finish it and start B'loz Demila. But Beli Neder, I do hope to start the Perek in Mirtz Hashem next week. We're holding over here where we learned a little bit of intro to Mila. We learned that there seems to be an Achloikas Achroinim to what exactly is the Mitzvah of Mila. Is the Mitzvah of Mila to remove the Arla? That's the mitzvah. It takes place in 2 minutes. In 1 minute, the moil slices it off, and that's the whole mitzvah. That's the ganze mitzvah of Mila, is to do one maisa chaticha, cut off the skin, and that's it. Or we saw another possibility that the mitzvah is a mitzvah nimsheches. That the mitzvah is to continue the rest of your life being non-oral. To be an ois oral, to have that removed, and that's a mitzvah nimsheches. We saw a third possibility, that the mitzvah is to make sure that on Yom HaShmini, the orla is removed. Those are three possibilities that we had so far in Achrayinim to how to understand the mitzvah of Mila. Is the mitzvah of Mila a one-time thing? You cut the Urla off and that's it, you're done, you're finished? Or the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Nimsheches, it continues on and on for the rest of your life. Every single day you go to the mitzvah of Mila based on the Gemara and Menachos. And the third tzad, which is somewhere in between, that was really Reb Yitzchak Blazer, Reb Yitzchak Petterberger's pshat, that the mitzvah of Yom HaShmini means that on the eighth day, make sure this baby has no Mila. Make sure this baby has no Urla on him. However you want to do that, you have to make sure he doesn't have it. And based on all these svaras, we used it to be Masber, the sheet of the Ramah, also known as the sheet of the Rosh, that held that if you have a Mila before Yom Shmini, you're still Yetzir the Mila. Now I want to break these two tzadim down to discuss another Shiloh. There might be another way of understanding the mitzvah of Mila, and this might have a very, very big naskemino both in Lomdus and in Halach. The background to this is the following. There's a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara in Kedushin is discussing the mitzvah of Kol Mitzvah Sha'av Ala Ben. All the mitzvahs that a father has to do for a son. He has to do Mila and Pidyon HaBen and teach him Torah and teach him how to swim and teach him an umnis. All these things that a child has to do to his a father has to do to his child. So the Gemara says, how do you know a father has to give his son a bris? So he quotes a pasuk, Vayom Avram is Yitzchak Benoy. It says in the Lech Lecha that Avram Avinu gave a bris to his son. So the Gemara says, okay, what happens if dad is not around? Or dad's not religious? So who does it next? So the Gemara says, if dad's not around, so then Bezdin has a chiv to give the bris milah. Bezdin pashas doesn't mean Bezdin, the rabbinic Bezdin, it means almost any Jew. If you have a Jewish neighbor and you know the kid never gets a meal, you got to go hire a mile and make sure he gets a meal. The Gemara says, if the son doesn't do it, if Bezdin doesn't do it, then the son has a chiv to do it. That's the sequence of events in the Gemara. It goes, dad, Bezdin, the son himself, when he gets older, he has a chiv to mal himself. So the Gemara says, what about mom? How do you know mom doesn't have a chiv to give a milah? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says, Vayom lavom kashetziva oisoi elikim, like Hashem commanded him, oisoi veloi osa, him and not her. So the Gemara makes an explicit diuk that moms are excluded from the parasha of milah. So there's a bit of a chakira. Are moms excluded from the father obligation? Or mom's excluded from the Bezdin obligation? We mentioned that there's two possibilities. There's a father's obligation to his son, and then there's what we call the chiv Bezdin. That anyone watching, knowing that there's a Jewish baby not getting a bris, has a chiv to step in. So when we excluded women, did we exclude them from the parental obligation? Meaning they're not like a father, but they're still like a Bezdin? Or no? The mothers are excluded, legamri, oisoi v'lo yosoi, means they're completely excluded from the parsha. Reb Shteinman, in his Sefer on Kedushin, asks a stamakasha. He says he doesn't understand what the Gemara was thinking in the first place. Why would mothers be obligated? We know there are certain relationships in the Torah that fathers have to their children. He says, L'moshel, we find that the father has certain schusim in their child. He gets to be meifin adarim, pashas matos. He gets the schus to marry off his daughter. He has the schus in his daughter's nechasim. You don't find that the mother has any of these things. So ask Reb Shteinman, why would you have thought that the mother is obligated? The Gemara comes up with a kasha. If father is not around, maybe mother. So why would you think mother? We know there's a specific emphasis on the relationship between father and mother, father and son. So the emphasis, I don't understand Reb Shteinman's kasha, because those were all schusim. Here we're talking about mitzvahs. Maybe Ein Hachanami, when it came to schusim, right, that was a father-to-son relationship, not mother-to-son, or mother-to-daughter. But we're not talking about schusim, we're talking about mitzvahs, obligations. Maybe obligations go both parental sides.
Why don't we learn anything from Tzipora?
So we're going to talk about Tzipora a little later today, the Pnei Shua. We're going to come back to Tzipora at some point to see how she changed the playing field. So Reb Shteinman gives an interesting answer. He says, you know why the Gemara thought that a mother should have a mitzvah to mal her son? Because look at the psukim. It always says that Hashem was commanded Avram to mal his son. Points out Reb Shteinman, mothers also have sons. Right? It's also a mother. It just says your son. Your son can also be your wife's son. Right? Our wives always remind us when we don't want to babysit, they say, well, they're your kids also, right? So you also have to babysit them, right? So here also, it doesn't say Avram as a father mal your son. It says Avram mal your son. So your son is also her son. So therefore, says Reb Shteinman, I would have thought that mothers have an obligation to mal their sons. This time is just a general kasha that this pasuk is in Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha is before Kabbalah Satayrah. We have a rule. We generally don't learn our mitzvahs from things that were given to us before Kabbalah Satayrah. So why would it be that this entire din of women excluded from Mila was only derived from a pasuk before Matan Torah? That's something to keep in mind as we go through the sugya. And that's always a question of what you can and can't learn from things that take place before Matan Torah. Okay, that's the background. So where does it all get started? And this is where we're going to get some light will be shed, hopefully, on how to understand the mitzvah of Mila differently, or maybe even connecting to what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Taisus comes over here with a kasha. Vim Toimar. This is Kedushin Daf Chavtes Amar Aleph. Why do we need a pasuk that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Mila? Typically, the mitzvah says, Shazman Gramahu. What do you mean? Mila is a mitzvah that's time sensitive. Because the mitzvah of Mila is done on the eighth day. Women are old-fashioned rule. Women are exempt from any mitzvah that's time sensitive. Mila is a very much time sensitive mitzvah. Why? Because you can only do Mila on the eighth day. Now, there's really two ways you could have asked this kash. You could have asked that you can only do it on the eighth day, and the other way you could have asked the kash is you can only do it during the day, not at night. There's two ways you could have asked the kasha. We'll see that Rishayim ask it in two different ways and deal with both parts of it. Taisus here seems to go with the first part, that since Mila can only be done b'yom hashmini, which we spoke about other times, what it means, it's not true. According to the Rama, you are yaitza earlier. If you did it before, you are yaitza. But again, the mitzvah is still done b'yom hashmini. So for Taisus, it's a mitzvah say shazman gram. Here's the kicker. Yeshua answers Taisvis, because once you hit day 8, there's no stopping. You can't do it before day 8, but once you hit day 8, there's no stopping. You can do it any time and every time. Therefore, says Taisvis, loves man gramahu. It's not called as man gram. So the question is, why does that answer the question? Our kasha is because there's a starting time that makes it man gram. Answers Taisvis, well, you're right, there's a starting time, but there's no ending time. So what? The fact that there's a starting time should make it as man grama.
The kasha was that there's a specific only time.
One second. That's the way you're explaining it, which is probably the answer. In the kasha, when I learned Taisus' kasha, I assumed Taisus' question was, since there's a starting time to the mitzvah, a specific starting time, you can't start it before the 8th, so it's time sensitive. Time sensitive makes it as man grama. And for Taisus, it's not really time sensitive. Of course it is time sensitive. You can't do it before day 8. Now, the simple answer is, look at all the other mitzvahs that has man grama. Let's pick a random one. Sukkah, Lulav, Shaif. They all have specific starting points and very specific ending points. You can only blow the Shaif on Rosh Hashanah, and after Rosh Hashanah you can't. You can only sit in the Sukkah on Sukkot, you can't sit in it after Sukkot. So they have a specific starting and ending point. True. This does not have that. This has a specific starting point, but not a specific ending point. So that's just, without getting into any lumbus, that would be the answer. The answer would be is it's not doim to the other mitzvahs, and therefore it's not deems man gram. But again, it still seems to need a little bit more hesber. Why is it that the fact that it doesn't start till day 8 not make it as man gram?
Every other mitzvah says specific date on the calendar.
Good. That's the Taisa Rizpshah. We'll have to get to that. We'll have to talk about that also. Okay, so let's see if we can get to everything in due time. That's the first part of Taisa. Now, what's the follow-up kash on this taisvus? The time of taisvus, akati mitzvah shaz magrama, it's still mitzvah shaz magrama. Why? The emol and elu b'yoyim. Because very nice. You got to answer day 8.
Just to answer your question, I don't know if you're still leaving it up in the air, but the starting point is more akin to the mitzvah didn't ripen. And
oh, good, yet. Good, good.
It's like, well, I didn't come by mitzvah, so the mitzvah didn't start.
Very good, very good.
My mitzvah, or
okay, good.
You know, the baby wasn't born, so there's no mitzvah yet.
So you're mechaber to Reb Chaim, which we'll get to hopefully later today as well. Yeah? We're going to talk about these types of svaras that you don't have a shame oral yet to be able to cut it off. Okay, good. Yeah, terrific. So, fact Taisvis. So, let's first deal with Taisvis. We'll come back to the alumnus over here. But Taisvis has a follow up kasha, which should have bothered everyone. Einachrami, the mitzvah doesn't start to day 8, and once day 8 starts, it goes without ending. It's not true. You can't do mila day 9 belayla. You still have to do the mila during the day. No. To ask, command Omer, hasim, the mila shlib is man, and heg is bein b'yoyim, bein belayla. No, there's a sheet in the Gemara in Divamis that once you hit day 8, then you could do it during the day or during the night. So then Taisus is beautiful. Once you hit day 8, there is no stopping. In fact, ask Mr. Yosef, yes, there is. What's the one time you can't do a Milo?
Shabbos.
In fact, ask Mr. Yosef, what are you talking about? That's not true. There's still a stopping point. You still have Shabbos. So if you look at number 3, the Atzmus Yosef asks this kasha. So does the Marit and the Svasem Mesir Kivega Menachmen asks this kasha. What did Taisus accomplish? Taisus is trying to explain to you that once you hit day 8, you're clear running. There's nothing stopping you. There's no time limitation. What about night? No, light. Not light. Night is not true because you could do Mila Balayla after the Yom HaShmini. What are you talking about, Frek Dachreinim? You still can't do Mila on Shabbos. We know Mila Shleb is man, it's not Deicha Shabbos. You don't do a bris of a 10-day-old baby on a Shabbos. So Frek Dachreinim, Taishas is still back to square one. You still have the original Kasha that you have Shabbos. That's the Kasha of the Achreinim. So the Atzmus Yosef asks this Kasha, and he comes up with a very interesting answer. He writes in number 3, he says, I v'imk in line 2, number 3, v'imk mitzvahs mila shloi bezmano in ahave mitzvahs eishas magromo kiva dehe sheinoig b'shabos v'yam tovim. Why don't we say that mila shloi bezmano should still be zman gromo because you wouldn't do it on Shabbos v'yam tov? The near answer is that Asmus Yosef tebishlam a tefillin einanoi klal b'shabos v'yam tovim, right? The Gemara uses tefillin as the example of a mitzvah eishas magromo. That's the quintessential example of mitzvah eishas magromo. So zok to Asmus Yosef, tefillin, we don't never wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's never ever done on Shabbos. So it's again, this needs more explanation also. That's the answer is, you're right. Halach l'maisa, a bris on day 10 will not be done on Shabbos. But don't tell me that Shabbos is a limitation, because it would be a bris on day 8, you would do it on Shabbos.
That
doesn't answer the question. Yeah. So what that's what Jesus seems to be saying is that when you look at the whole mitzvah, you say to yourself, well, this mitzvah is not... That's right. That's the point. That's what Sfasem is going to say a little bit more than that. But the point is, it's not a steer to Shabbos. It does. Just punked on a day, again, right? A C-section is also not Deicha Shabbos, right? That's the way it goes. A C-section is not Deicha Shabbos, right? That's the way it goes. Well, you can tell me Mila is not Deicha. No, specific details are not Deicha Shabbos. But in general, Mila is Deicha Shabbos. The Sfasem is, in Meseches Megillah, as the Reb Kiveger, he gives a little bit more of a lumdish answer. He writes, number 4, the Hmakshim, people have a kasha. Why don't you deal with the issue that if it's shloim b'zman, it's not deicha Shabbos? V'linir is zoktes v'asem is halom neshepshat. The davka b'tfilin she'im behem malach uptur m'shabbos v'yom tovim av zman groma. Zok the v'asem is, why can't you put on tefillin on Shabbos? Is it the mitzvah as a stira to Shabbos? Or there's what we call a technical problem? Zoktes v'asem is, the reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because the mitzvah is a direct stira to Shabbos. Because of ois, which we spoke about in other shurim in the past, it's be'emes ha'machoikish v'shoinim. Is it also to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov? Or just that there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov? Rashi and Taisus both in Be'ah of the opinion, it's not aser, it just is no mitzvah. Now, points out the Sfasemes, why is there no mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Is Shabbos stopping the tefillin? The answer is, it's not the melacha of Shabbos, it's the yom of Shabbos. Since Shabbos is an ois, and tefillin is an ois, you don't want to have too many oisiyos, and therefore we don't do it. Therefore, says the Sfasemes, so therefore that's called Zman Groma, because when every Shabbos rolls around, Shabbos and the mitzvah collide. Shabbos is a siba not to have the mitzvah of tefillin. That's what the Sfasemes is saying. Ava mashein molim doicha Shabbos lo yimikri b'zeh Zman Groma. Da ha mitzvah lo oilam utels gam b'Shabbos. Rag disuri de Shabbos doicha ha mitzvah lo yimikri b'zeh Zman Groma. So the Sfasemes, when Shabbos and Mila collide, it's not the pshat that Shabbos is a steer to Mila. Avada, even though you can argue it's Shabbos is an ois and Mila is also an ois, but there's nothing intrinsically steeridic about having a bris on Shabbos. It's just that there's a technical thing. There's something called the 39 malachas. One of the malachas is cutting, is bleeding, and every bris you bleed. But there's not be'etzim that Shabbos is a steer to a bris Mila. Therefore, Zakta Sasem, that doesn't make it a Zman Krem. That's a little bit more of a Lomdish way. There are those who bring a better Raya. What's the halach of a guy does a bris Shleib Zmane on Shabbos? The meal is Yaitzah. You Yaitzah the meal. You get a patch of being Mechal Shabbos. But the meal is Yaitzah.
You put on Tefillah on Shabbos, you're not yet to fill them.
So there's no mitzvah, right? You won't get a check. You won't get a check. So the argument is that one is be'etzim a mitzvah. It's just you can't do it because your hands are tied because of the lametas malachas. And one is it's mamish no mitzvah. There is no tziva me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wear tefillin on Shabbos. That's a more of a lomdish answer to this kasha from the Sfas Emes to why exactly not putting on, not wearing tefillin on Shabbos is man grumble.
You didn't have your bris, but if you're an oral, then you don't only have one os.
You
should maybe be able to put on
Tzad. That's right. They talk about there's a Chumash Adeshan like that, right? The Chumash Adeshan has such a Tzad.
It's not a Tzad. It's not a Tzad in and of itself.
Right.
Maybe it's not a Tzad.
No, that's a Raya.
Tefillin. Maybe Tefillin is not a Tzad.
Right. According to that.
It's only a Tzad because you have two Osos. But if I don't have the second Os, because I'm an oral.
Right, but for most people that have...
I understand, but the essence of Shabbos is not...
Right, there is a Chumash Hadeshin like that that has such a tzad that for someone who's an oral, he talks about someone whose brothers already died for Mila. So he's not allowed to do a Mila. So he has a tzad that maybe he should wear tefillin. Mm-hmm. So that's where the Chumash Hadeshin writes that we shouldn't be Derish time at the cross so much. You know, just go with the Gemara says, you don't wear tefillin, don't go with all the reasons. Okay. And he discusses such a tzad like that. Vash the Chumash Hadeshin like that. Okay, so let's go back to Tosfos for a second. What's Pshat in Tosfos versus Lomdus that since Yemeshmini V'Ola Ein Zman, it's not called Zman Grum? So I found over here number 5 a sefer called Shmuel's Kedushin, where he quotes from another sefer in the name of Reb Chaim from Reb Chaim Salavitcher. Reb Chaim said the following Lomdus: B'sefer number 5, B'sefer as he carried Evan Siyah in Omen Shinchov Tez Hevi Me'agrach LeYashiv. That the Reb Chaim was bothered. It's not clear if Reb Chaim was trying to answer up Tosfos' kasha or trying to answer up our kasha on Tosfos that about Mila. So Reb Chaim Yisoid. So because the fact that we do Mila on Yom Ches is not because it's time sensitive. Let's do it the actual baby. Because a baby less than this can't be Nimo. Why? Says Abchaim, maybe that's Kufa what Taisus means. That the Yom Hashmini v'Ola in lehepsik v'hainu shemahaya b'tolei b'zman Yom Hashmini hayadin davka b'shmini. What Reb Chaim is proving from Tosfos is the fact that there's no time afterwards, that's just a raya that there's really no time before it either. When Tosfos answers that, what Tosfos really means, says Reb Chaim, is a fancy way of saying that the reason why you wait to eat is not halachic reasoning. It's technical reasoning. Zok Reb Chaim, the kivin shezat toli b'goydol ha-yeled, shepochus mizeh enonimo, kishezchai b'yem ha-shmini chal olav chiyiv lo'ilam. Zok Reb Chaim, a lomdusha understanding of Tosfos. What Tosfos means is the fact that once day 8 goes, it never stops, that's because the mitzvah is be'emes a mitzvah forever. Really, you should mal a baby right away. So why do we wait to day 8? That's because under day 8, the orlo that the baby has is not deemed an orlo that needs to be cut. So the reason why we can't do the mitzvah before day 8 is not because our hands are tied, it's because there's no chiv in the first place. There's no sibas ha mitzvah. That's what Chaim just said. Exactly. That's right. That's the answer to why Avram didn't give himself a bris, because he didn't have a shame orlo yet. He had to first know he had a din orlo, then you know you have to cut it. So Zaktub Chaim, a geshmach way of reading Tosfos. When Tosfos answers, kivid yemei hashmini v'ola ein lehefsek, that's not the answer. That's the raya. That's the raya that the lumness of the mitzvah is not about time. Because if it would be time sensitive, why would it go forever? The answer is it's never time sensitive even in the beginning. Even the waiting of the first 8 days is not a time sensitive mitzvah. It's just that you can only do the mitzvah if it's shayach. And if it's not shayach, you can't do the mitzvah.
We'll
get to that in a second. We'll see in a second why can't you do before day 8.
Tosfos weighing in what we started with, whether a meal before 8 days accomplishes anything.
That's the chayyu should be very much tali. Now all of this Torah takes us back to what we started with in the beginning. Does a meal b'yom shmini do anything? Now, going back to the Gemara that we started off with our first share together, the Gemara sounded like the only reason why we wait till day 8 is just because we don't want the parents to be upset. No, the Gemara said because we don't want the mother and father to still be in nidus and everyone else be happy. Which sounds like intrinsically, there's no reason not to do the meal earlier. It's more of a, we'll call it a technical problem. But that's Reb Chaim's Yisoid. So, if you learn Tosfos like Reb Chaim, then it comes out the mitzvah of Mila, B'Yisoidai, is not time sensitive. Technically, you can't do it before day 8, but that's for a technical problem.
It begins on day
8. The Sibas HaMitzvah starts on day 8.
It's like you can't do it before the baby is born. And there's no baby here to do
so, so if you look in number 2 in the Tosfos Rosh, the Tosfos Rosh, when he explains Tosfos, he adds a few interesting words. Says the Tosfos Rosh v'yesh loymer, kivon de misham ve'elach ein hefsek. Once you hit day 8, there's no stopping. Loy choshev zman groma. It's not considered Zman Gromo. Kimo yi Pidgin HaBen. So it's Rosh. Pshat and Tosef. This is like Pidgin HaBen. We know Pidgin HaBen. After it hits day 30, you can do the mitzvah all the time. Therefore, that's the same thing by Mila. Now, we spoke about this a while back, that that's not necessarily the best comparison. Why? Because Pidgin HaBen, the reason why you don't do Pidgin HaBen before day 30 is not for halachic reason. It's because you can only redeem a baby that's going to live. It has to be out of the shame nafel. The baby has to be out of the status of nafel in order to be considered redeemable. So that's why you wait to 30. But Mila L'chayr, one would have thought not like that. But according to Reb Chaim, it's taka a very nice comparison. According to Reb Chaim, it's mamish the same thing. It's that the reason why you can't do a Mila before Yom Ches is because you don't have a Chiv yet before Yom Ches. And argued the Tosef Rosh is the same thing with a Pidgin HaBen. The reason why you don't do a Pidgin HaBen before day 30 is because you need to have a baby that lives to be paided. Once you rule out that the baby is paidable, so then the mitzvah is never really bound by time. So the chayr with this place of rush will work very nicely with the way Reb Chaim is learning it. In Reb Shorkin Shurim, he says it over a little differently. He doesn't say that that's pshan in Tosfos. He says over that the Velt has a kash. No one understands Tosfos' answer. What was Tosfos' answer? Mila is not zman grama, because once you hit day 8, it goes forever. In fact, Reb Shorkin, what do you do until you get to day 8? And if you can only do the mitzvah on day 8, shouldn't that by definition make it time sensitive? What's Tosfos' answer? Once you make it to day 8, it runs forever. So what? You still got to get to day 8. And since it's only on day 8, shouldn't that make it time sensitive? So if Shorkin writes, V'tiritza oilam, the Velt gives over an answer. If you look in the bottom, who's the Velt? V'cheimatim b'shmoy moran agriz. They say it over the name of the Briskerov. We'll see, it sounds very much like Reb Chaim, so it's at least in the right family. The what? T'ho adi yom shmini potter, ene din b'zman kim ha-mitzvah, shudavk b'zman zeh. Zoktib Shurkin, along the lines of what Reb Chaim said in the name of the Briskerov, the fact that we do a meal on Yom Shmini is not because till the Yom Shmini there's no mitzvah. El din Yom Shmini hu da'ad Yom Shmini l'choshev or lo say or lo. The orla that the baby has is not considered an orla that needs to be cut. That's the way you have to look at it. The ene chevtze de orla. It's not considered a chevtze de mitzvah that needs to be cut. The orla umila ad Yom Ches. Hu l'chein ein zeh choshev zman grama. That's why it's not called Zman Grom. The Eino Inyan the Chiva Toli Bizman. Rak the Adyim Ches B'chalek Chavse Darla. You don't have any Sivas HaMitzvah. Ta'im to what Pshlom Mekluger says about Kiddush Levana. Pshlom Mekluger says you're not, Kiddush Levana is not Mitzvah Shez Zman Grom because it's only half the month. It's because it's not Shayach. You gotta have a Levana to be Mavarech. If you don't have a Levana, that's not a reason not to call it Zman Grom. Therefore, Zog to Pshlom Mekluger, this is Mamish of Chaim and the Brisker of the same Lomdus. That the reason why we don't do Bris until day 8 is not because the Torah says I want it to be done on day 8. That's because this skin that needs to be cut is only obligated on day 8. Therefore, Zaktem, that's why it's not considered as Zman Grom. And just to add Reb Chaim, the raya to this lomdus is from the fact that once you hit day 8, there's no Zman. That's a raya that the lomdus is that way. That's the way Reb Chaim said it over, and that's the way the Biskrov said it over as well.
We have both. On day 8, it's Mitzvah Shev, it's Zman Grom. After day 8, it's not Zman Grom. So therefore, after a day, a woman is continued to...
So what would women be obligated then? Without the pasuk, what would...
On day 9 and on.
Okay, there's such a thought that people talk like that. Maybe we'll split the two. And so there's one halacha till Mila B'yom HaShmini, and that will be X and Y rule. One could have thought like that. Split the mitzvah into two. Such a possibility. It's hard to do that because, you know, it gets a little tricky, complicated. But yeah, in Lomdus, I think it could work. If you assume there's two separate mitzvahs. If you assume there's two separate mitzvahs, up till Yom HaShmini and Mishmini Ve'elach.
That also solves the original machlokas as to whether it's what is considered to be the mitzvah.
That's correct.
On the 8th day or...
That's correct. That would also change it depending on when you're doing the meal. Yeah, 100%. That's true. Rav Gusman, and I only saw this, Rav Gusman gave an entire shir on Mitzvah Seisha as my grandma. I couldn't pass up the chance to quote at least some of Rav Gusman's Torah. Rav Gusman said about himself that when he was hiding in a little ditch in a non-Jewish farmer's house with his wife, himself and his daughter for 6 months at a time, so he chazed zvachim 20 times by heart. So those who are learning zvachim now in the family can appreciate what that means exactly. And I was at the dentist's office sitting in the chair and I tried to learn a little bit by heart. It wasn't going. So I can imagine, you know, not knowing if tomorrow was going to exist in your world, it's probably very hard to learn. And he did zvachim. Of the more difficult mesechtas, and he said he chazed zvachim by heart 20 times while in the ditch. Reb Gusman also said about himself that throughout the war, he used to get dreams from Reb Shimon, his rabbi. Reb Shimon Shkab used to come to him in a dream. And he said many of the Talmidim from Reb Shimon used to have Reb Shimon appear to them in dreams, and they knew that was a good sign. They knew if Reb Shimon came to them in a dream during the war, they knew he would survive the war. Reb Gusman Grada got a bracha right before Reb Chaim Moshe died. The Reb Chaim Moshe gave Reb Gusman a bracha that he was going to survive the war. So he was pretty confident that he was make it, but he didn't know what about his family. The primary's bracha didn't include the family. At that time, he had a wife and a daughter and a son. So Lamaisa, he did survive with his wife and daughter. His son did not survive, but he felt very confident throughout the war, knowing that his Rebbe gave him a bracha, that he was going to survive the war. Gusman was an Eli Otzim. So Rav Gusman, in one of his kuntras Eshurim, I asked one of his Talmidim, I said, one of these kuntras was one share? It's like 15 pages. I said, he said this in one share? How do you guys handle that? So he told me, no, it was really a bunch of shurim, they just all put it together. But this is a shtickle in Kedushin. So Rav Gusman is stumbly bothered with Taisvus's kasha. Taisvus is assuming that because Mila doesn't take place till day 8, that makes it a Zman Gram. So for Rav Gusman, he says, I don't understand. It's connected, I'm a Furisha Gemar. This is all the same idea that Rav Chaim and the Biskorov are talking about, but Rav Gusman puts it into a Gemara. He writes, number 7, he says, Hakivan the Kaimel on Orlo Shlebizmana, I love Orlo. The Gemara says, if you have an Orlo Shlebizmana, it's not called an Orlo. The cotton Orlo Mutal is Tzaychib Shemin Shlechuma. You're allowed to take Shemin Shlechuma and smear it on a baby's body. Why? Because he's not considered an Orlo. He doesn't have these prohibitions. Ukad Isa Bivam Mistaf Ayin Aleph. And he quotes the Rambam says, "Avos sochin es hakotem b'shem in truma b'seich shiva, shahanoilat kol shiva inay choshev oral." He's not called an oral. So Sochtib Gusman im Kain, had a nimel kol shiva inay p'tur, el shloy shayach kol shiva kima mitzvah. The pshat that you don't do the mitzvah till day 8 is not because the Torah says wait till day 8 for a specific reason. It's because you don't have the mitzvah. You're not an oral. That dain ain't an oral. K'moshu kaidim shanoilat domi l'inzeh. It's like the baby's not born yet. He can tell me, the baby's not born yet, you should do the mitzvah. There's no sibas ha-mitzvah. So argues Rav Gusman, and this is what Rav Chaim was saying, is that before day 8, there's no sibas ha-mitzvah. Uma zeh shaykh l'kreis is mangrom. Ho lay shaykh yizeh is l'gambri b'mitzvah kima mitzvah m'shem de gavra dayin l'chazi l'milo. So Rav Gusman was learning that he doesn't understand Tosfos' kasha. Rav Chaim was saying that's exactly Tosfos' answer. Rav Gusman didn't seem to go like that. Rav Gusman was saying, I don't understand what Tosfos' kasha in the first place was. So it says Rav Gusman, an interesting pshat. It says, Tzarech Lehmi, you're going to have to say, the Savri Tosfos, the Dafkling in Sicha, Shem and Chuma, Aminan de Orla Shabbazman, I love Orla, the Kibin Adain in Kansiva Shalmila, Leiniku Orla in Chuma, Avul Etza Mitzvah Mila, Shaykh Gam Tech Shiva Elosh Atari Potrasin. Says Rav Gusman, you're going to have to say, there's a difference between Dinim and Mitzvahs. And he says, Ein Ramah Yoridei Reish Samach Bez. What's that Ramah he's referring to? That's our Ramah that we started off with. What do you see from that Ramah? That you can be yoytz to the mitzvah meal before Yom Ches. Zot, because that's the biggest raya, that it is shaykh a mitzvah before Yom Shmini. Because you yoytz to be the evidence according to the Ramah.
But maybe you yoytz, I don't remember the Ramah said, but maybe you only yoytz on the 8th day.
That was another pshat we mentioned. That was the chiddush that we mentioned.
Now when it comes 8th day, now there's a secret mitzvah.
That was the chiddush from Yitzchak Paterberger. That's how he learned the Ramah. But the simple reading of the Ramah sounds like you yoytz it right away. So Zarkib Gusman, you can't be so quick to throw out this idea. Like, basically what he's doing is he's arguing on the Yisoid of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim told us his big Yisoid that there's no Sibas HaMitzvah before Yom Shmini. Zarkib Gusman, it's not true. And we know this because we've been learning for the last 3 weeks that there's many Stadim in Rishonim and Halach Lamaisa that you are Yitzah earlier. So Zarkib Gusman, that's Pshat HaTosis' Kasha. So Reb Gusman wasn't willing to learn like Reb Chaim, although he says there's a Gemara like that, he's willing to draw a distinction between the Mitzvahs HaMilah and the Dinim that are Negev from the Shem Or. That's all in Tosfos Shita. Now there's other Rishonim out there. The Tosfos is the most, I think, one of the most interesting Rishonim on this whole sugya. The Tosfos is bothered with the same kasha that everyone else is bothered with. He wants to know why exactly is Mila not Zman Grama. So after Tosfos, he says, Chotov. Firstly, it's Zman Grama, Dechsev, it says in the Torah, Ubiyayim HaShmini Yimu. It's got to be Ubiyayim HaShmini. That's kasha number one. That's the way Tosfos started off. It can only be on day 8, so therefore it's Zman Grama. Chodo, another kasha. Day mitzvahs mila el b'yoyim v'loy b'layla. Another kasha. You can only do mila b'yoyim and not b'layla. So that should make it zman grama. Kedisim v'megillah. Shein molon el b'yoyim. So it's really setting up as two separate kashas. Mila should be zman grama for two reasons. Firstly, you can only do it on day 8. Secondly, you can only do it during the day. So that already should make it zman grama. Answers the Tais Rid. He answers each kasha separately. Let's go with the first kasha. Says the Tais Rid, v'hatinach miyam shmini loy kasha. She'ein hayoyim kavua v'yadua b'shana. Says the Tais Rid, the mitzvah of Mila is different than all other mitzvahs as Mangram. All other mitzvahs as Mangram, there's a date on the calendar and that date never changes. Sukkot is always Tezvav. Pesach is always Tezvav. Doesn't change. These dates on the calendar, they don't budge, they don't move. Any mitzvah that's on the calendar, that's Mangram. Zokt, the Tais Rid, but Mila's not on any calendar. It's day 8. It can be any single time you want. It's up to change. Subject to change. So they have a Zakta Tezvid. Again, this needs Hezber. Zakta Tezvid, that makes it not Zman Grama. although I can't do it until the 8th, it's not like Sukkot and Lulav, which I can't do until Sukkot, because Sukkot is a set date on the calendar. But Milah is not set on the calendar. It's subject to change.
With Tefillin, you have a plan, because Tefillin's every day. There's no set
date. Okay, good. So Tefillin might be a kasha, because Tefillin is not like that. Tefillin is not a set date on the calendar. Tefillin is just a daily obligation. So let's see more about this. That's answer number one from the Tesirit. Then the Tesirit says, okay, very nice, but what do I do about nighttime? This is all fine and dandy to answer Yom HaShemini. What about Belayla? So let's say another alumnus. What about nighttime? Hey, I mean, the Mitzvah says, my grandma knows Shabturis, Hani Mili. Here you got to read the words of the Tesirit very slowly. When do we say women are part of Mitzvah, my grandma, Hani Mili, Hecha, the Talia Begufa, when it's dependent upon their body, Vihi Eidem Mitzuva, El Zman Yedua, Veloy Bechol Zman. That's when it's only for specific times and not all times. Ava Mitzvah Deloy Talia Begufa, but a Mitzvah that's not about her body, Kigoin Lomol as Bina, to do a Mila to her son. Ava gav the milas haben yesh lasman, even though Avada there is time limitations to when you give a mitzvah to, a milah to your son, ni de kavu hazman le ben hanimo, although there is time given to when to give the baby a bris, avalo av shet sivo habayrilis asik bemilas benoi, but what the Torah commanded the father is to be busy in the preparatory responsibilities of the milah, v'ha'esek ahu ein lezman, to be busy, you can be busy all day long. Yeah, you call the mayol and you make sure the caterer is there and you make sure the whole, whatever you're doing, that you can do all the time. If not for the miyat of oisay v'lo yasa, have mechayvin and gamo isha. I would have also obligated women. The einzman hakavua. It's not an established time. That's why the potter have amina. I would have thought he tisaseg b'miyim b'malayla. She should also be able to be busy making phone calls at night. Achetim las benoy bezman.
He's expanding the definition of the mitzvah.
There was a lot in this Tesirit. He said a lot of things. One of the major points that the Tesirit just brought out was he changed the whole mitzvah of meal. The mitzvah of meal is not to go out and actually cut your son Arlo off, or use a shliach. What the mitzvah is, make sure that the bris takes place.
It's on the parents.
Right, on the parents.
But about the child,
it's to be more.
Good, very possible. The Lashon of the Tesirit definitely sounds like that. But he also started off with a line where he talks about mitzvahs that you have to do to yourself versus mitzvahs you have to do to others. A mitzvah that you have to do yourself, such as lulav and sukkah, that's man grama. That follows the regular rules. But over here he switches it. He says that the reason why mila is different because you're not doing it to yourself. You're doing it to someone else. And we'll see later, Yitzchak Blazer points out that whenever the mitzvah is to do to someone else, it's very logical to say you don't actually have to do it, you just have to be in charge of it. If the mitzvah is I have to have it on my body, then I got to do it. But if it's missing, I have to make sure it happens, like everything in life, delegation. Right? We love to delegate. Everyone loves to delegate. So I don't have to, I have to know it has to get done. Do I have to do it? No, I'll have someone working for me do it. So Zok, the Tesirit, since I don't have to, I'm not doing the Mila on me, I'm doing it on him. Then the Torah says, make sure it happens. What the Tesirit bomb chiddush of the day is, the Tesirit is being mazbatos, that the mitzvah of Mila is not that the father has to actually go himself and cut the baby's erla off, or use a shliach to do so. He has to make sure the mila happens, which means he has to hire the mayel, or pay for the mayel, and make sure everything happens. It's hisaskus. Therefore, says the Tesirit, if the whole mitzvah is hisaskus, again, it's an unbelievable chiddush from the Tesirit. It's not the mitzvah of the chaticha. The chaticha can only be done during the day. The mitzvah on the father is not the chaticha. The mitzvah on the father is the hisaskus. That hisaskus is not bound by time. You can be busy with the mila all day long. You can call the mayel at night, and you can buy the gauze and buy the whatever else you need at night also. So the Zok to Tesirit, the whole mitzvah is not a mitzvah that's done by, it's not a mitzvah b'yam. An unbelievable chiddush from the Tesirit into the mitzvah of mila. It's a massive chiddush. And it has major halachic nafkaminas.
It doesn't sound like a rishon.
Yeah. According to the Tesirit, would there be any mitzvah by yoytzim b'shlucha and a mayel? Let's say there's a father who's a doctor, who's a mayel. Is there any reason why he should have to mal his son himself? So you ask anyone else, of course, because really it's the father's mitzvah. You only give it to the mayel because you're not trained. As I know some people that are doctors, they like to do the mila themselves because of mitzvah, or they don't trust the mila, mayel, you pick your pshatim, or because of mitzvah, yes, b'shluchai. Anytime you have a mitzvah, you should do it yourself, and that's true. But according to the Tesirit, that's not true. This is not a mitzvah that I have to do. It's hisaskus. That's the whole mitzvah. I have to make sure, so you can argue, what happens if I want to make a shliach to do the hisaskus? I'd say, I hire him. I tell my secretary, you take care of all the mila. You call the mayel. I'm sure that could happen. So according to that, might be mitzvah by Yisrael B'shlucha. And there might not be a mitzvah boy over here, because there's no kiyum that you have to do. It's just an end result. When there's an end result, no one cares how you get to the end result. Just get to the end result. This is
the
Gzeres HaKasav
that the mother doesn't
have. That's why you need to come out to the Gzeres HaKasav. Because without the Gzeres HaKasav, there's no reason why mothers shouldn't be able to be busy. They can also work at night. So therefore, says the Taisavid, that's the pshat. Unbelievable chiddush from that really changes all our outlook and how to understand the mitzvah milah. It's no longer a mitzvah to cut. It's a mitzvah to ensure it gets cut, final result.
I know I came late, but let me ask you a question. According to him, it's not a din of hefshir mitzvah. That itself is the actual mitzvah.
Right.
So according to him, let's say you did all the achanas, and for whatever reason, the kid didn't get gemal. You did your part. The fact that the kid didn't get gemal, that's
he means this askus to the ma'aseh milah, to the final result. You have, your job is to make sure the final result happens.
Right.
Similar to what we saw from the pre-Yitzchak, that your job is to make sure that on Yom HaShemini the kid has no milah. He's just arguing now that the mitzvah on the father is to make sure it happens. Your job is to be busy. However long it takes, your job is to be busy with a final result. Now, Rav Gusman says, Gavaldik HaShtikol Torah over here, says Rav Gusman doesn't believe that this pshat is correct. Rav Gusman has a whole bunch of rayas where he doesn't think there's any way in the world to think that the mitzvah of milah is just to be involved. It can't be. There's too many rayas that the father's mitzvah is the actual chaticha, or hiring a shliach to do the chaticha. Rav Gusman doesn't think for a second that this is correct, although the Taisavid seems to be screaming it. And we mentioned last week, the Marach HaRzeruah says it also came out meforish, that the job of the father is not the ma'aseh milah, it's this askus. So because Rav Gusman has this problem, so how's he going to read the Taisavid? So unbelievable. Says Rav Gusman, a whole new spin on the Taisavid. Zakh Rav Gusman, number 9, he says like this. Let's go back to the first piece of Taisavid. The first piece of Taisavid told us that the reason why Mila B'Yom Shmini is not Zman Grama is because it's not set on the calendar. It's not on the calendar. It changes. Some kids will be on a Monday, some kids will be on a Tuesday, some kids will be on a Thursday. It's not on the calendar. Therefore, Zakhtar Tesvid, that makes it not Zman Grama. Says Rav Gusman, what's pshat in that? He says, Gam B'Layla Mitzvah U'mashi Yef Shaloma B'Layla Ein Emitam P'tush Shal Mitzvah. Zakhtar Gusman, you know why you can't do a Mila B'Layla? That was the original Kasha. You can't be Mol B'Layla. It's not because technical problems. It's not that there's no mitzvah belayla. There's always mitzvah. Just that there's rules, regulations, when to fulfill the mitzvah. But the mitzvah is always there. B'savet taisvid d'hachinami b'solayla. V'ein azman shalayla poitu ha-mitzvah. It's not an exemption. It just means you can't fulfill it. Arguing with Gusman, you know, shaking a lulav before Sukkot is not that there's no mitzvah. There's a mitzvah b'yom ha-belayla as well. It's just there's a psul if you do a belayla. The savet ha'isvir l'shitasoy. The limik mizman grom el b'makim shazman geirim esachiv. Says with Gusman, these two pieces of ha'isvir go together. The first piece of Taisavid told us the kavua hazman leben hanima kavanose bizman bzed hazman leinember bechiv hamitzvah when the time is not connected to the mitzvah the hanima katan hu vein alav shum chiv ela hazman hu behechshe ma'isamila the zman is what enables you to fulfill the mitzvah avol mitzvahs mila haynu puulas hamais neheges bein biyim bein belayl b'zot Taisavid the mitzvah is the act of cutting that mitzvah is be'emes applicable bein biyim bein belayl. Except there's a din that belayla is puzzle. Umashikasa v'teisavit shechayv v'sasik belayla kavanosoi loy rak b'tam hechshe mitzvah delamachar elafilu im efshel atriyachu lahachal lamachar the betzitzis kegav the potu belayla mitiachazu given the p'tur me hamitzvah belayla. The point is that you're potter from the actual mitzvah. Mashenki b'mila shechayv hu gam belayla. Mashenki when it comes to mila you be'emes chayv at night to do the mila. Eloshi efshel kiyuma but you can't do it. Mikomaka mechiyuv hu b'tircha. But the fallback is, although you can't do the actual mitzvah, you could do the tircha belayla. But there's still a sibas hamitzvah belayla, Zakhtar Gusman. That's pshat the Taisavid. The Taisavid doesn't mean that there's no mitzvah at all. He means there's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is tamidus. The mitzvah is all the time. It's just that we're not allowed to do the mitzvah belayla, but you do saskus belayla. Okay, I don't know. When I read the Taisavid, I didn't get this impression that that's pshat the Taisavid. But that's how Rav Gusman reads the Taisavid. So according to Rav Gusman's reading of the Taisavid, there is no such din that the whole mitzvah of meal is a saskus. The mitzvah of meal is the chaticha. And the mitzvah of meal is bein b'yom bein b'layla. What do you mean no one does brisim at night? That's because it's a study dicker thing. The Torah says there's a you can't do the mitzvah b'layla. But it's not that there's no chiyuv b'layla, there's no kima mitzvah b'layla.
There's a number of rises caused that with the chetz of the mitzvah.
Yes,
even though you can't.
But there's a
Shofar of Avodah Zarah Gai, right? You have to be mevatel it before Rosh Hashanah, even though you can't do it the night of Rosh Hashanah, even though the mitzvah is not till the next day, because once Rosh Hashanah comes, has a chetzah mitzvah, even though you can't be.
Yeah, it's hard to understand this, but I, you know.
Let's say that baby that was the truma wife. What about the night before the eighth day? Does it now have a shame oral or not?
Right.
So if the Siva, you say the Siva the Mitzvah exists, just that it's at night and you can't do it, so then you wouldn't be able to do your Truma oil that night.
Right, so we're going to hopefully see next week. Let's say, if you hold that Milah's Deicha Shabbos and even the Machshirin, are you allowed to do Machshirin Milah Friday night? Right, Friday night, you're not doing the Milah, but there's already a mitzvah at night. So would you allow to do Deicha Shabbos for Machshirin Milah? You're going to do a bris on Shabbos. The mitzvah, the bris is going to take place on Shabbos. Are you allowed to do Machshirin Milah Friday night? So that's, again, that might be Hutra. Okay, we'll hopefully get to that. So the Pre-Yitzchak Yitzchak Blazer points out, very Gishmak, says Yitzchak Blazer, he thinks that all those Rishonim that are of the opinion that the mitzvah is a saskos, it's because they hold the mitzvah as the final result. Like he himself writes. If you hold the mitzvah as the final result, then it makes a lot of sense to learn that the mitzvah is to be a sasuf. He writes in number 10, in the middle of the piece over here, he writes, Ulam al pi anal yuvan hetiv. Hachiluk bezev ha'ayu d'chol ikim mitzvah say the mila shechal ala abiyam ha'shmini. Ein ay maise ha'chat tochshim babiyam ha'shmini. The Torah doesn't want you to cut the orla on day 8. El de ikra mitzvah shebiyam ha'shmini yeh nimol mechos orla. This is what Yitzchak Blazer l'shitasa, that the whole mitzvah is come day 8, the baby should be no longer an oral. Ulefizek, even the ikar mitzvah say the mila, eina kavona lomol, el rak shiyin nomol, im kinere ikar mitzvah, who's saskos? Says Yitzchak Blazer, that's gevaldik now. Now you can understand why the Rishayim had this sad, right? He's bothered. Why would anyone think the mitzvah of mila is a mitzvah that's about a saskos? Why would you think this mitzvah is any different? The answer is because you see from the Torah, at least according to the Mitzvah Petzberger, you see that the Torah only wants the final result. If the Torah only wants the final result, then why should it matter who or how I get to the final result? Therefore, Zaktim, that's why by Mila it's a saskus, because by Mila it's the final result, and when it comes to the final result, all you have to do is be asik with it. That's the way the Mitzvah Blazer puts it all together. Very geschmack, a shtickl Torah, based on what we've been learning the last few weeks. Just to round off with this Taisvis, there's a Pnei Yeshua in Kedushin. The Pnei Yeshua is also coming to answer up the kasha of why isn't Mila's man grum? Zog to Pnei Yeshua, Gishmak of Pnei Yeshua. These are one of those Pnei Yeshua's you got to remember for life. Ha'yinir li letaris b'inyin acher. The lo yishayich ha'klol of the mitzvah shez magrum and ashim turis el b'mitzvah ha'guf. Says the Pnei Yeshua, you can only use mitzvah shez magrum as a ptur for women if it's a mitzvah on their body, she'ef shalakai ma'idei shliach, which they cannot do through a messenger. Kigoy. Whenever we have a question of mitzvah seisha as magroma, ask yourself, is this a mitzvah that the women, only a lady can do? You can't have a shliach shake lulav for you, you can't have a shliach hear the shayfa for you, you can't have a shliach for suk. Then we say, women are exempt. Masha ain't kibbe mitzvah sa'aval aben de efshe lekaim ade shliach, efshe de leshay chai klola. Says the Pnei Yeshua, maybe we don't apply the rule of mitzvah seisha as magroma when you can do it through a shliach. Now, says the Pnei Yeshua, Kei nearly borer, it's pasha to me, the Karu Liza Yesh B'chadush HaRitva. He says, I think that's what the Ritva is saying, which we'll see the Ritva in a second. Now, first of all, what's pshat in the Pnei Yeshua? And second of all, why does no one other Rishayim say like him?
Says,
what?
It's similar to the Tosus.
Part of it's in the Tosus.
Exactly.
Right, says with Gusman Gavalik, whenever we talk about the Sugya's Magromo, you always have to come back to this famous Abu Juham. There's a famous Abu Juham, and Rav Gusman sets it up as a chakir. Why are women part of the mitzvah of Magrum? What's pshat? So one pshat is the gzeres hakasim. Every time, gzeres hakasim. There's an Abu Juham that we've spoken about other times. The Abu Juham says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up on his covet, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, women have dual responsibilities. They're meshubah to their husbands, and they're meshubah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the husband says, I want you to do something for me right now, and Hashem says, I want you to do something for me right now, Hashem says, I'm willing to step aside, and I'd rather you serve your husband, not serve me. That's the famous Abu Juham. So says the Rav Gusman, beautiful. Says Rav Gusman, if that's the whole reason why women are exempt, if she can send a messenger to do it, then you don't have this taina. You're telling me, I'm about to shake lulav, right? I'm about to do a mitzvah, and my husband says, I need you to make supper. So she has to pick one or the other. But if she can send a messenger to do it, so why should she be exempt? Zogt Rav Gusman, this Pnei Yeshua is going with the lomus of the Avud Raham. That the whole reason why women are exempt in the first place from mitzvah shez magroma is because their time is torn. But if you can make a shliach, then your time is not torn.
Send a messenger to make the supper.
Or that way. Go that way. So therefore, Zokta Gusman, this Pnei Yeshua is a riot to Abu Draham. But Zokta Rav Gusman, but why do none of the other Rishayim say this? So from the fact that all the other Rishayim don't say this, it's because they don't hold like this Abu Draham. Oh. Everyone always talks about this Abu Draham. So Rav Gusman is telling us that all the Rishayim in Kedushin of Chavtes, the Taisvis and the Ritva and all the whole peckle of Rishayim are going now like this Abu Draham. Because if not, they would have answered like this Abu Draham. Very geshmak a piece from Rav Gusman. Now, what does the Ritva? Let's just see the second answer of the Pnei Shuva. V'oid yeshloimer di ilav yafusa da oisiv leyasah have yafinan isha lechiyuva midechsev atikach tzipayra tzor v'atoma lesbina. Said the Pnei Shuva, not so fast. If I didn't have a specific zayas kasev, I would have thought, no, maybe women are. Look in the Torah. If you look in the Torah, you read Chumash. There was a woman who did a mila tzipayra. So ma'ashenki the boss dechsev oisoy al korcha tzipayra shani. So now I have a bemes astira. I have a pasuk in parshas. Where was it in Shmoyz boy in boy va'era the end of va'era where tzipayra does a bris. Then I come to the beginning of Lech Lecha where it says women don't do brisim. So how do I make these two things work? So Zakta Pnei Yeshua, the way I make these two things work, I say that, no, Tzipayra was different. But if I didn't have this pasuk of Oysoi V'Layasah, I would have just opened up the Chumash and followed whatever it says in the Chumash. It says in the Chumash, women do brisim, so women do brisim. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's why we need a specific Zeres HaKos. There are those who point out that Oysoi V'Layasah was written before the Torah was given. So maybe that's why, so Yesh Lod and how that really works. Because that was before the Torah was given. So how much of a riot that is a Shtigl Tzarechin. What? So Tzipayra. So let's just see the Ritva. The Ritva writes, "Typically, the Hamitzvah Shema Gramu, the Mila B'Yoyim V'Lo Yilayim V'Noshim P'Turis." Ikal Meimah. Zok the Teshuvah. Again, this Ritva needs to be read very carefully. The Hosam who be Mitzvah De Nafsha. The reason why Mila, the reason why Mitzvah Shema Gramu normally are time sensitive and women are exempt because it's a Mitzvah on their body. Avol Hocha be Mitzvah De Bina. It's the Mitzvah of the son. Have Amina De Mechayva. I would have thought women are obligated. The loygara mi bezdin to mechayve lemamle. She should be no worse than bezdin that has a chiv to mal the son. Lahochi itzakol lemiftere. What did the Ritva just say? He said a lot, and it's not clear what the Ritva meant. The Ritva made a couple of statements. Statement number one, he drew this distinction between your body and someone else's body. Then statement number two was something about bezdin. What exactly does the Ritva mean? What's the starting point? So the Pnei Yeshua thinks the Ritva means like him. That if it's on your body versus someone else's body is a reference of saying you can use a shliach. Something which is on my body, I can't use a shliach for. Something which is not on my body, then I can use a shliach for. I don't know. With all due respect to the Pnei Yeshua, I think there's a lot of extra words here if he meant that. I think there's a bunch of words here that don't fit. So the Minchas Chinuch, Rabbi Asher Weiss, in number 14, quotes the Minchas Chinuch, that the Minchas Chinuch learned the Ritva Sheet as a klal l'chol atari kulo. Anytime you have a mitzvah that's on you, then we have the rules of mitzvah shezman grom. Any mitzvah which is on something, not you, to do to something else, you don't have the rules. Says the Minchas Chinuch, two examples. The mitzvah of shvisas behemton. There's a mitzvah say to make sure your animals don't work on Shabbos. That's not a chiva maikof. That's my body to do to something. Zog the Minchas Chinuch, women are mechuyev in that mitzvah. Ayat zman grom, doesn't matter. Because it's not... Enachlami Shabbos, you have anyways called, you know, Kol Sheyeshna B'Zachar, Yeshna B'Shomer, Kol Sheyeshna, how's it going? B'Zachar, Yeshna B'Shomer. So, but there's two mitzvahs. He says, that's one mitzvah. And the other mitzvah says, the Menachas Chinuch is Shvises Aris, Mishnas HaShvies. The mitzvah of guarding the land and not working, that's not a mitzvah on me. That's a mitzvah to do to something. Says the Menachas Chinuch, based on this Ritva, that anytime the mitzvah is not on me, Lulav is me, Shofar is me, Tefillin is me. Women are exempt. But if the mitzvah is to someone else or to something else, then says Minchas Chinuch, women are not bound by mitzvah shezman grama based on this Ritva. Rabbi Asher Weiss thinks that's not the pshat at all. Rabbi Asher Weiss finds it extremely difficult to believe that that's pshat. He thinks that the Ritva meant Mila is specific. Only Mila. Because by Mila you find that we kind of shift the mitzvah to other people. Where do you find you shift the mitzvah? Because it says Bezdin has to do it. You don't find it anywhere else that if you don't shake lulav, you know, Bezdin does it for you. Well, that's it. You don't do it, you're lost. So since you find that mitzvah mila is unique, where it's kind of the mitzvah is shifted to other people, so I would think it's shifted to the mother as well. That's where Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to learn the Ritva. Just to wrap up the sugya, the Sefer HaMakne learns this Ritva in an unbelievable way. He learns this Ritva like we learned from the Tosfos Arit. That the pshat this Ritva is that the mitzvah is just to be oisik and not the actual cutting. Now, it's mamish apella upside down. How did he read them into the words of the Ritva? Doesn't say anything like that. If you read number 15, he writes, Ramban v'aritva kosv l'taritz kushes ha'teisv d'nei de mitzvahs mila ein el b'yoyim av la mitzvah av les asik lo moyloi v'aesek ahu ein lo zman hilkach ilav ois av mechayvin gam isha. I can't understand where he saw that in those words of the Ritva. I shouldn't say, not one word of there sounds like that to me. So I found in the footnote in the Ritva, in the Kuk Ritva, he writes, it's a printing mistake. It's supposed to be k'mosh kosv ha'teisv rid. Now, I'm willing to give one word mistakes. He writes Ramban and Ritva. I don't know. I'm skeptical to believe that that's the Pshat, but that's unbelievable. The Machna wants to learn that Pshat in this Ritva is that it's really a chesaron. In the reason why it's not mitzvah Magrom is because the mitzvah is not the actual cutting. The mitzvah is the hisaskis. Says the Sefer Machna. The Fizet answers up the kasha that there's no mitzvah on the father to actually give the baby a bris. I have a father, do not have a mitzvah to actually give to my semila, because the mitzvah is not to do the cutting. The mitzvah is this askus. Therefore, this askus can come from anyone. There's no din that you have to have mila, it has to be done specifically by the father. So Allah, at the end of the sugya, now I think we're ready to move into Rebbe Loz the mila, actually start the perek. It's not pashut. I think we spent four shurim trying to understand the mitzvah of mila, and we walked away with four tzadim. There's the maisa chaticha, there's to be not an oral, it's a mitzvah nimsheches, or it's this askus of the father to make sure the baby has a bris, come your mashmi. Okay, now we're ready to learn the laws of the meal.